make a bold move on Clint Gunnarsson. The NRL decides Seagull Dylan Walker is allowed back in the game, but where will he play? And the panel recap the biggest highs from Magic Round. Magic Round, done and dusted, and wasn't it absolutely brilliant? We'll get into all of that and recap it just a little later with Michael and Jamie. But first, we'll get to some breaking news. Parramatta Eels, there's one time ticking time bomb.
Yeah, look, we've been watching this unfold for the last couple of months. The negotiations between Parramatta and Clint Gutherson. Look, Parramatta have had enough. They've put a deadline on Clint Gutherson. They'll let his manager know tomorrow that time is up. They'll have till the rest of the week to decide whether he wants to take up that offer. At the end of the week, they'll move on. So it's the ultimatum put forward to Clint Gutherson. You want to stay, it's time to make your feelings known. So it's a pretty bold move from the Eels, and one that's going to obviously bring it all to a head in the coming days.
What's the sticking point? Years, cash, where are we at?
Look, it was cash originally, then it became years. They want 4 years. The Eels are willing to offer around 3 years, 1.95, just less than $2 million a year. So, and they're not budging. They decided that's going to be their final offer. They decided last week that was going to be their final offer, and they didn't want to put that on Clint Gutherson before a game. So they let that pass, but now this is the week. He'll have to decide.
So at the moment, it's about 3 years for just under $2 million. Jamie, how does this make Clint feel as a player, do you think?
Well, it rushes him now. It's a huge decision for Clint Gutherson and the Parramatta Eels. But when you're a player like Clint Gutherson, the leader and the captain of the club, I think it's wrong that you put a time limit on this situation. You've gone this far. I don't see why just holding out. If you can get to that 4 year deal, I think that's what he'd be looking for, 4 years. The money seems about right, close to that $700,000 figure. But I just think anytime you put a time limit on someone to do anything, it becomes not a rush decision, but it becomes sort of a hard decision for Clint Gutherson now. Because if he leaves and says, no, I want a little bit longer, then Parramatta pull the offer, and he's got nowhere to go right now. So I don't think he should have to settle because there's a time limit.
Well, with all due respect, Jamie, to Clint Gutherson, this is not rushed. This has been going on since before Christmas. And he rightfully knocked back the original offer because it was lower than what he probably thought he would earn. But if you look back in history, and the West Tigers case a few years ago is the best example, when the players are dictating and waiting and the club is waiting and waiting to find out what its future is, then they're the ones that are put in a vulnerable position. Because if Clint Gutherson keep waiting, the Parramatta Eels can't go forward with what they're going to do.
Okay.
And we saw with Mitchell Moses and with Aaron Woods and Tedesco, the club waited and waited and they ended up leaving and were left to rush and buy blokes. They didn't get the cream of the crop. They had to do with what was left. And Parramatta don't want to be in that situation. We're talking about James Roberts. We're talking about Latrell Mitchell's name's up in the air. Dallin Watinley's in Lesniak.
Yeah.
They want to be able to bring the best players in if Gutherson's going to leave.
Okay. What about Brad Arthur? Because Brad Arthur and Clint Gutherson are so tight, we understand their relationship. That has to be playing a part in Clint Gutherson's decision. If he doesn't know who the coach is going to be, why would he commit the next 3 years to the Parramatta Eels, invest probably one of his biggest contracts that he'll get, when they don't even know who the coach is going to be? Can you put a time limit on person? Because the Tigers knew who their coach was going to be. So their decision was holding out for more money, a different opportunity.
They didn't know who the coach was going to be.
Clint Gutherson doesn't know who the coach is going to be. Mate, so how can they go to him and go, mate, sign right now? And he'll go, well, I don't even know who the coach is going to be.
If you're
this is the captain of your club.
You're captain of the club.
He doesn't know who the coach is going to be.
Does it really matter?
Yes, it does.
He's told Parramatta, look, I have no doubt Gutherson is stalling a little bit, or his manager is stalling to find out what's going on. But if you're going to be the face of the club going forward, you're going to be the captain, whether Brad Arthur's the coach or not, you're going to commit yourself to the future of the club. Is that deal going to change if Brad Arthur's not there?
Do you think that they've tied together the Brad Arthur, Clint Gutherson situation and they've played it wrong, Parramatta? Because they have had a way better start to the season than anyone predicted. Mm-hmm. They've stalled this conversation with Brad Arthur till the round 16. Clint Gutherson has a right to know who the coach is going to be. You're saying, I'm talking from the player's point of view. If I'm sitting down and I'm Clint Gutherson, I'm going, well, if I'm not important enough to, who's the coach going to be? And they go, well, just sign, mate. You have to sign by this week or it's over. Don't you think he has a right, if he's the face and if he's the captain of the club, to know who's going to be running the show next year?
If that's his thoughts and he wants to know who the coach is going to be, and his manager's
they
doing
can't
obviously
tell him.
All the negotiation. Yeah, but if he wants to know who the coach is going to be, surely his message to Parramatta is, let's not negotiate until I know who's coach. But that's not the case. They've been negotiating for months. They started, obviously, Sam Ayoubi's manager has been started at probably 800, 850, and they've come down to a certain figure here, around 650,000. I think Parramatta have handled it well. It's got to a point where Gutherson now has to make a decision. Look, he's worth what they're willing to offer. And you're going to fight over $50,000 and that's going to cause damage to his reputation. I like Clint Gutherson. I think he's a tremendous person. I think he's a tremendous player. And Parramatta need Clint Gutherson. But I think you can't criticise Parramatta for the way they've done things here.
We know last time he was on the show, he made it clear that he wants to know what Brad Arthur's doing.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about contracts before. But another interesting point to make is that you broke only a few days ago that Dallin Watene-Zelezniak could be leaving immediately from Penrith to go to the Eels. Does this have anything to do with this new...
Well, it didn't to begin with. They originally wanted Gutherson to stay at fullback and they wanted to bring in Watene-Zelezniak as early as this year to come in as a right centre. Now, that could change because if Gutherson doesn't accept this deal, then suddenly Watene-Zelezniak could be the Eels' number one target for that fullback role. But ideally, in a perfect world, Parramatta will re-sign Gutherson and bring in Dallin Watene-Zelezniak to play in the centres. Now, where it stands at the moment, Tyron Smith, Dallin's manager, has been speaking to Parramatta. Now, they can't offer him a deal until they get permission from the Panthers to offer him that deal because he's contracted there for the next 18 months.
Okay.
Penrith have a meeting this week. There's a recruitment retention meeting this week. It'll be interesting to see how that goes because it's the first time in the post-Phil Gould era that they've had this because in the past, Gus just decides what's going on. So they'll decide this week whether they want to move Dallin Watene-Zelezniak on or not. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. Obviously, that plays in Parramatta's favourite. It'll be a little bit of rush. It also, the fact that they've got some options there they need to start to explore.
And Jamie, how does a team prepare to play the Cowboys on Saturday when this is going on and Clint needs to make a decision by Friday? You can't tell me it does not rattle your teammates and your side.
It would a little bit, but that doesn't excuse their performance on the weekend. I think a couple of weeks ago we spoke about the contract negotiations around Brad Arthur and Clint Gutherson. Were they starting to affect? I think it was the week in Newcastle where they started slow. So it would be starting to play on their mind. I think any time your team's in the paper and you're on the back page and inside that big articles, it starts to play within the group because someone's always seeing it. I know a lot of the players aren't footy heads these days and know what's going on every second of the day in football world, but there's some players there that would be starting to go, well, hold on a second, you know, this is our captain, and they'd be starting to feel for Clint Gutherson, especially if they've got their futures tied up.
Yeah.
The thing with Clint Gutherson is, and it's like that with all good players, when they start playing well, and Gutherson hasn't played rep footy, but if he does, all these contracts have got clauses in there that they get rep bonuses. So whatever that deal is at the moment, I imagine if Clint Gutherson goes forward, and I've picked him to play Origin this year, I think he should be in that New South Wales back line somewhere, then that money will go up even more because he'll get that clause triggered. So, yeah, I think Clint Gutherson's got a good deal ahead of him, and hopefully he stays at the Eels.
Okay, well, if you are just tuning into Inside the NRL, Chamis has just let us know that Clint Gutherson has a deadline. This Friday, he has to make a decision whether or not he will be staying at the Parramatta Eels. But in other news, we do have Manly's Eagle Dylan Walker. He was found not guilty of those domestic violence charges earlier in the year, which means he's now free to be picked to play for Manly. Todd Greenberg announced this a little earlier to the media.
Effectively, what we will do in all of these situations with the no-fault stand-down, and let's hope that we use them sparingly, will be once the court process is finished, we will review the court file. Our integrity team have done that over the weekend, and there's no issue to provide that player with a return to play. And so he'll be available for the Manly club to select if they decide to do so tomorrow. We said at the beginning, it's a no-fault stand-down rule, which talks to exactly that reason. There's no fault, there's no presumption of guilt or innocence. But it is a very serious charge, and while a player's going through that charge, we feel that we need to protect the brand and reputation of the game. So it's a no-fault stand-down. The player's paid its entirety throughout that period of time until it's resolved in a court. Once it's resolved, one way or the other, we can make that outcome. So I think on its first test, the no-fault stand-down policy worked exactly as we would have expected it to.
Well, it is timely considering all of Manly's injuries. Where would you play Dylan Walker if he does play this week, considering that they really don't have many halves? And I know he's a centre preferred position, can play six.
Yeah, I think their centre's done a fantastic job this year, Parker, as well as Moses Sooley. So I think Dylan Walker will come into that 5/8 role. Whether he starts straight away, I think Des Hasler will be pretty keen to get him out there. He's been training with the boys, so he'd be trying to just get out there and put them this off-season behind him and get his season started.
Okay, let's move on. Let's get to the sweet or soured moment of the week. Sweet or soured? You've been very kind.
I have. Look, and
weeks.
I'm not going to be kind. I, I don't want to give the referees a bashing, but I will go sour this week on the referees. Just watch this play here from Mitch Moses. Beautiful cutout pass, hits Sivo on the chest, and that's a try. I just want to pay attention to Henry Perenara after this try, because he goes over there. He's asking his pocket referee what's going on. The touch judge as well is looking. Now, Henry Perenara wants to give this a try, and I caught, you see that face right there. He knows he's been a player. He's been in these situations. He wants to back himself. I've spoken to a former referee about this. The pocket referee isn't sure 1%, so they have to go through the whole process of sending it upstairs. I would like our referees to back themselves. They are on the spot. They have the best view in the house. The held up ones, we can look at it a million times. But right there, Henry Perenara wanted to make that decision on the fly. He can't, because someone else thought they saw something. That was a dead set try straight away. I would like Henry Perenara and the refs to back themselves.
Yep, well, you're back. Welcome back.
Can I fire off on you? Yeah?
Sure.
I like to argue with you, but I do love you, Jamie. So 2 weeks ago, you sat here and said, send everything upstairs. Now we want to back ourselves.
Well, we're not going to send everything upstairs. That's what I said. If you're going to send 80% of them upstairs, you may as well send them all upstairs. But
I agree with you on that one.
We're going through the process for the sake of going through the process. His face right there tells it all. He wanted to send that up. He wanted to just award the
job. You're right, he did.
And keep you can't continue to take the air out of the footy all the time and the emotion, especially Magic Round. They were getting flogged. That was a dead set try anyway. And just keep it going. Keep it rolling.
Well, you did mention Magic Round. Let's do a recap. What a weekend it was. There was so much going on. It was a real festival vibe. Michael, you were up there. Jamie, I know you had residence game. But what did you make of the atmosphere?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, obviously, Greenberg spoke about it earlier. You go around town, everyone's wearing footy jerseys. There was a bit of a carnival atmosphere to it. I enjoyed it. The weather was great. Great place to have it in terms of having that feel about it. Look, we know it's here to stay. It's got one more year plus another year after that as an option if they want to keep it in Queensland. I really enjoyed it. I think the players enjoyed it as well. Everyone in the same town in the one time. I think it's got a real future in the game. Whether that's in Brisbane or not, we'll find out, but at least for 2 or 3 years there.
We will deliberate that a little later in Hit or Miss, but there was almost 140,000 people through the gates over the 4 days. What do you make of the schedule though, Jamie? Do you think that it would be better off if they did have it down to 2 or 3 days?
3 days for me. I think you play two games on the Friday, 3 on the Saturday and 3 on the Sunday. I think that would be the ideal kickoff. That last game Sunday night at 6 o'clock. But I love the fact that it was Magic Round. I think it was really exciting. I was probably one of those people that was a bit sort of iffy about the ground and everything like that. But I think we missed the kick with the fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that home fans will want to see the big classic matches at home, the St George v Sharks. But for the first ever Magic Round, geez, it would have been nice to have some grudge matches, you know, Cowboys, Broncos, or even Brisbane v Melbourne, just some real classic rivals that have been great fixtures in the past. I think that the NRL missed a little bit of a kick there, because as well as 140,000, imagine having 50,000 for all 3 days or 4 days. Yeah, Sharks, Titans, it was a pretty good game in the end, but if you had Titans v Brisbane or Titans, you know, someone that they've just matched up well against in the past, I think that it would have been even better.
Well, I know there is that expectation to grow, and they were even suggesting, now they can go back to the drawing board, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and in Caxton Street, it was such a vibe. So close to Suncorp Stadium as well. And if they could make each pub a certain club, so before and after games, you could go back and have your particular hub. Don't you think that would be cool?
No. Oh, no one on Caxton Street would want to have any New South Wales teams whatsoever. No.
I think they would. It'd be good for
business. But I will commend the players well-behaved all weekend. They all bought into it. They all promoted it. We saw even Josh Mansell, after the disappointing effort from Penrith on Friday night, stuck around to promote it on the Saturday. So all the players must be commended as well for a fantastic job.
Yeah, fabulous stuff.
Better
there.
Better behaved than the journos, I hear.
What journos are you talking about?
Whoa! Move on, Katie.
That was a jab if I've ever seen one. All right, let's get the latest on the injury report with Zach Bailey.
Thanks, Katie. It was a magical weekend at Suncorp Stadium for most players, but unfortunately it wasn't for others. Curtis Scott will be sidelined for the next 10 weeks after scans confirm the centre has a fractured foot. The Storm are hopeful he'll be back for the last 8 games of 2019. Meanwhile, his teammate Jerome Hughes won't face the Tigers this week due to concussion. Daniel Tupou was stretched off against the Raiders after his neck got caught in an awkward tackle. He's had scans and has been cleared of injury, which is great news. Latrell Mitchell showed amazing healing powers to return from what looked to be a serious groin injury in the same match. Mitchell has since been assessed and he's in no doubt to face the Broncos. That's also great news for New South Wales. Boyd Cordner is extremely unlikely to face the Broncos on Thursday night due to a short turnaround after he was concussed against the Raiders. Jordan Rapiner's injury plagued year has continued. Canberra fans feared the worst when he went down basically untouched against the Roosters. But the Raiders are confident Rapiner has a PCL injury and not the dreaded ACL injury. He'll have scans to confirm the extent of the injury, but is set for another stint on the sidelines, hopefully not for the year. The news is a lot better for Andrew Fifita. When he left the field early against the Titans, it looked like he could be sidelined for several weeks due to a hamstring injury, but that won't be the case. The prop overcame a hammy issue earlier this year, and his fresh injury is considered a low-grade strain, so he's in doubt for Sunday's match against Manly in what would or could be his 200th match. His teammate, Matt Pryor, is rated a 50-50 chance for that match due to an ongoing neck and shoulder problem. Elsewhere, foot injuries could also force Knights duo Connor Watson and Edric Lee to miss round 10. Watson has been playing with a foot issue all year. While Lee's injury is fresh, both players need further medical assessment, but if they are to miss any footy, it'll only be 1 or 2 weeks max. The biggest news out of Magic Round on the injury front was Jack Bird's ACL. Now, it's devastating news for the centre, given he was in great form and missed most of last year due to a sternum injury. Unfortunately, he's out for the season. Katie, there were a few other injuries to the likes of John Sutton, Jake Granville, Moses Suley and Toff Sipley as well. But I'll have an update for you on NRL Teams tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Thanks, Zach. All right, let's go to hit or miss. Question one, Magic Round is here to stay in Brisbane. Hit or miss, Michael?
Miss. I think it's here to I think it's obviously here to stay in general, but I think, you know, after that 3 years runs out, I'd like to see it go somewhere else, share the love a little bit. I know Brisbane done a tremendous job in the first year, but after 3 years, let's talk, you know, Melbourne, Auckland, wherever it is. I don't mind the idea of moving that on.
Yeah.
No, miss. I think the next one will be at the new Allianz Stadium.
After the 3 years is up with Brisbane?
Yeah, yep. I think the... You take the chance to move it around. I don't know if you need to go to Melbourne straight away. I think you get the chance to, in Sydney, to be able to do it and then have a look at it after that.
Would you look at Townsville or anywhere regional? Or
I think you've got to be able to have it in a big city in terms of logistics of getting all the teams there, and you've got to look at the playing surface as well.
Yeah, good call, good call. All right, question two. Cameron Smith will make an Origin return. Let's listen to Zach Bailey's grab with Cameron Munster before we get to you two.
Hey, Smithy, you want to come back to Origin?
Put him on the spot.
Smithy, is that a yes? Yes, yep, well, that's a yes. Smithy, is that a yes? Thumbs up? Yes.
Hit or miss? He will make a return.
Look, I'm going to say miss. Look, Cameron Smith's a legacy kind of guy. I just don't see him coming out of retirement for a team, to be honest, even with Cameron Smith there, that would be, you know, overwhelming underdogs to win this series. New South Wales won it last year convincingly, and they go in heavy favourites here. Cameron Smith, as appealing as it is, I don't think we'll do it. And plus, he made a sacrifice. So, yeah, part of the reason, or a majority of the reason why he retired from rep football was because it was time to spend time with family. So, yeah, I don't see him coming out of retirement.
Jamie?
Miss.
Cool.
Yeah, right. Well, Michael took up all my time. I agree. I think miss. Miss for me. I don't think, I think he'd rather another title rather than go back and to the Queensland side.
Okay. And plus, you don't really care because you're...
I don't. Yeah. I worry about New South Wales.
Okay. Question three. Penrith can start planning for 2020. Hit or miss?
Hit. As sad as it is to say. Look, they're only 6 out of 8. Anything can happen. There's a long way to go. But they were diabolical on the weekend. And the signs haven't been there. And you can blame execution. It's not execution. It's effort. And for whatever reason, these players were so excited about having Ivan Cleary at the club. They were. They were so excited, given that he coached a lot of them. They were obviously come through the system that he was there. But just they aren't giving anything at the moment, Penrith. And they've had some soul-searching. They've had some heart-to-hearts, some, you know, honesty sessions. But I think it's time to start looking at 2020. And there's a recruitment and retention meeting this week. They'll decide then or there whether they start cleaning out the roster or not. But, geez, it's ugly at the moment.
Yeah, it is. They're diabolical at the moment, the Penrith Panthers. You don't know what team you're going to get, and their effort on the weekend was pretty poor. Whether they start playing for 2020, I think every club starts looking at, but all signs for after the interview after the game with Ivan Cleary, this retention and recruitment meeting on this week, and the review that they're going to do, just not that they've already written their season off, but it's just a real negative vibe after the game. So they'll certainly look at how they're conducting themselves and what players want to be there and what players they want to be there. But yeah, it's a long way to go, and they've still got 17 weeks to go.
Do you have an issue with how Penrith handled things?
In terms of what?
Just overall, there's a lot of talk about what they've done with Gus and bringing Ivan in, and some people saying it's karma for the way things have gone. Do you have issue with the way Penrith have handled themselves at all?
I think at the time it was probably a confusing situation. I mean, we covered it pretty much every step of the way. You had a lot of meetings and talks to everyone out there, and I think looking back at it, they would like to have done it a little bit differently with less fanfare, because every time Penrith Panthers get beat now, everyone's coming for them because of how it went down last year. So I'm sure they would change a few things differently. They've got where they are now. They've put themselves in this position, and the only people to get them out of it is themselves.
Yeah. All right. Question four. It's time to get over Ben Hunt's 2015 drop.
Yes. Hit. Okay. Hit. Yep. Not even going to wait. This is... If we keep going back to every mistake that every player makes, then I would have highlights still going. And, watching back the GI, I talk about the GI incident, right? Every time I missed a tackle, I never thought about it because I'd moved on from that situation. I just don't think we have to keep reliving. Everyone knows what happened in that game. I understand, yes, we want to compare it. It's not a grand final. He's at a different club now. He's going to drop balls again. But he's been fantastic for that side this year, St George Illawarra Dragons. Without him being in that side, they wouldn't still be fighting for a position in the eight. They'd be right down the bottom. So I think it's time to get over it, Hit.
Miss, I sat down with Ben Hunt last year before the final series, and he was quite depressed he was quite sad and disappointed with the treatment his way in regards to his form at the finals. Now, they were quite personal attacks last year. I've got an issue with that. Regardless of how much money you earn, no one has the right to attack Ben Hunt the way people did last year. That was terrible. But to me, this, and you see his face straight away, he thought of that moment as well. He started laughing. It's a bit of fun. He took it that way. I've got no issue with talking about it, because that's the reality is it's always going to be there. But personal attacks, that's a different altogether.
But they're comparing it to the grand final. That's what I've got.
Well, it looked...
It's not very similar.
Nah, come on, Jamie.
The situation's completely different. Off a dropout.
You think Ben Hunt's sitting at home now offended by people talking about 2015 grand final?
I think he'd be offended at the personal attacks. Mate, losing
100%.
Grand final, thank goodness I never went through it, because I don't think I'd be able to recover. And I don't know if a lot of those Brisbane players have recovered from that, because that play didn't cost them the game. They had a chance to win. They had a chance to stop it before. But we all pin it back on the Ben Hunt drop ball off the Golden Point kickoff.
If Ben Hunt's willing to laugh, we're all...
Yeah, but I'm saying we're laughing at him. We're not laughing with him. We need to be careful of that.
How do you know that he was laughing and referring to the 2015 grand final, though? You don't know that's going through his mind.
Please, someone who was haunted by it, as if that wouldn't have been the first thing he went through his mind. Come on.
Seriously. He's probably just having a giggle because he made a mistake.
Maybe.
We will never know unless we ask him. All right, question five. Mike Acevo should have been sent off for the careless high tackle, which he took an early guilty plea for. We'll listen to Graeme Annesley before I do Hit or Miss.
There was some discussion about whether that should have been a send-off or rather than a sin bin. My view of that, and I discussed it with the referee's coach last night, is that it was a judgment call by the referee. I'm happy with the exercise of that judgment. Equally, I would have been happy had he decided to send the player from the field permanently. But it's a judgment call. I'm not going to be critical of the fact that he sent the player to the sin bin, nor would I have been critical had he sent him off.
Michael, Hit or a miss?
Look, I think a sin bin was fair, to be honest, Hit. Yeah, I don't think I don't think a send-off would have been... I think it would have been a bit of an overreaction, yeah. Didn't matter in the end, to be honest. They got spanked anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I think...
Well, it matters to Jerome Hughes. I agree with you. I think Sinbin missed for me, send-off, but Sinbin was appropriate. He needs to change his style, Mike Acevo. He got Corey Norman. I know that was with a headshot, but it was very similar with that whole swinging arm coming in, face looking away. If he's actually looking at his target... And I can't believe I'm giving tackling advice, but if he actually looks at his target and goes through the ball and actually stays a little bit squarer, he'll be able to control that. We've seen Michael Jennings with that. Gutherson blew up to the referee about that situation. And as a defender, you still have onus of being protective of the ball carrier. And remember, Michael Jennings looked away and got Isaiah Yeo. So Michael Sivo, very lucky there. I think he'll be suspended for that. But 10 in the bin.
Yeah, it's taken early guilty plea, so 1 week. All right, Ricky's Raiders are the real deal. Hit or miss? Jamie?
Look, I'll say miss at the moment. I've been concerned against the Raiders. Every time they've come up, well, two times this year, they've come up against a real top echelon team in this competition, be the Melbourne Storm at home and now the Roosters. Whilst they made the game close in the end, the Roosters had a lot of injuries during that game and had to scramble with 14, 15 players. Their defensive systems have gone out the window against them top teams and they've pulled them apart. So the Raiders definitely be outstanding this year and they'll make the eight. They're a real surprise packet, but I just think they have to stay with what gets them in that position against the top teams, because Melbourne schooled them down there, Chamis, and then the Roosters on the weekend, it was 30 points to 6.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Jamie. I think they can be a top four.
They prove it.
Yeah, it's too soon.
Top teams.
And there's three real deals, mate, and there's a long way between the next three. It's obviously the Souths, the Melbourne and the Roosters, they're your real deals. The rest at the moment, anything can happen.
Okay. Well, we are 9 rounds in, going into round 10, so they're doing all right so far.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. They are.
Yeah, but you mark yourself against the champs, and they were 30 to 6 up. You mark yourself against the
24-30, though, in the...
I know, but the Roosters had a lot of injuries, Katie. What I'm saying is, every time you come up against the grand finalists from last year, two times this year, they've been owned.
Mm.
So if you're a Raiders fan, you're liking what you're seeing, but you're asking questions within that little group of, when we play the best teams, why do our defensive structures go from 11 points a game to 24-plus?
Yeah, fair point. All right, last but not least, James Seguiaro can save the Broncos. Hit or miss?
Might be a bit biased here, but I think hit. I saw him yesterday at Brisbane Airport. He's excited to go. Turpin was outstanding on the weekend. I think they'll carry two hookers and try and get that spark and get their forwards, you know, for the whole 80 pushing up in and around the ball. So I think, yeah, Chico will be a very good signing for the Broncos.
Yeah, good signing. I like what he can add. I think that's not their problem at the moment, but I like what he can add.
And the other thing is, he adds some character to the change room. He's gone into a club now, a big Brisbane club that's gone through, you know, all this exposure, all the pressure on Seibold and everyone's same interviews, and they just don't look like they're having fun, which when you're losing, you're not. You get Chico in the dressing room. He's one of those guys that you just like having around. He's always laughing. He's up the whole time, and it becomes infectious.
Bit of fresh air, exactly what they need. Even with the Eels, when they talk about Blake Ferguson, same sort of situation. Yeah, cool. All right, champ or chump? I've got a good one from Thursday night. Oh, I think it's a good one. The fireworks employee. Let's take a look at what was happening before kickoff of the Titans and Sharks, and we'll listen to the refs.
Time, we're waiting for it.
So basically they're telling him that he needs to get off the field. And just very cash. Players are waiting on the field. I think he was trying to steal the limelight. Champ or chump?
Chump. Come on, mate. Seriously.
There was just no urgency.
Show some urgency. even if you just pull the card a little bit quicker and you fumble around, you try and get something going. I know you were up there for all eight games working very busily, I might add, for the NRL.
That was really nice.
I just think, show some urgency, chump. Come on. We're ready to go.
Show some
You're not the show. Chump. Yeah. You're not the show. The players are out there ready to go. Let's get it done.
What about you?
Yeah, chump. Show some urgency. Yeah, I agree with you, Jamie. That was ridiculous.
Look, I can tell you that he wasn't back the next night to be in charge of the fireworks.
Nor should he be.
And the last one, Tigers get the copyright approval from the Warriors to use their breathing technique. Champ or chump?
Well... I don't really have an opinion on this. I think if it whatever works for you, you do it. But Ronnie Palmer has been around forever. He's got the most unique tools to help you get ready. We've seen him with the fairy dust and all that kind of stuff.
Energy box.
Ronnie's a master of keeping the mood up, and maybe they've changed it during the week. And when you come out and play all that the first 20, you'd want to get into a huddle every day.
Mm. I wonder how much Madge spoke to the Kiwi boys about it. Obviously, the New Zealand coach, the Warriors, did a lot of it last year. Maybe they got in his ear, who knows? But hard to say chump. If it works, they were very good, the Tigers.
Yeah, champs. All right, before we go, Power Rankings, Jamie?
Yeah, Power Rankings came out today. They go live every Monday at 12 o'clock on NRL.com. Panthers down at 16. They've just been diabolical this year. The Melbourne Storm back up after a great win against the Parramatta Eels. And the Sharks, keep an eye on the Sharks. They're battling away at the moment. It was a tough win against the Titans, two in a row now without all their big stars. Once they get those guys back, they can be in that top echelon.
Okay, well, that's it for today for Inside the NRL. Before we go, this week you've got
yes.
your podcast, Pow Wow with Sow Wow.
Yeah, as voted by the fans, not myself. I wanted a different name, but the bosses put the clamp down, give the people what they want. Pow Wow with Sow Wow, we do it every Wednesday. I've got Ryan James this week, had Jai Arrow last week, and he was outstanding, talking about everything in Queensland, how he found out about his debut. He found out on Instagram, actually, so go on and have a listen to that. But this week, Ryan James.
And he's obviously done his ACL, so that'll be an interesting chat to see where he's at mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also have the Broader Game podcast that comes out each fortnight, myself and Alicia Newton. So the latest episode was out last week, and that was with Ian Roberts and Caitlin Moran. We spoke about being gay in rugby league. Quite an interesting topic. But we've got Zach Bailey, our main man, back tomorrow at 3:55 with teams lists, the NRL teams lists. That's all we've got time for. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you back next Monday. Have a good one.